Greetings in the divine love and light and bliss of the Supreme Presence. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is how to dissolve stress and experience the bliss of living love. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and call yourself forward into soul awareness. Feel your vibration raising, lifting. It's easy, just intend it as what is happening. Feel yourself lifting above this vibration that you call the world, above the mind. And take a position where you can look down and look upon the planet Earth. I want you to notice all of the millions and millions of light workers all over the planet. Yes, you'll see them as diamond radiant points of light. Look, every single nation, there's light workers, awakened ones, emissaries of the divine kingdoms of light. Every single area of the planet has light workers, souls that have come at this time to dance the dream awake, the rainbow dancers, and you and I are among them. Go ahead, look at your own area. You see that point of light? Do you see that radiation of living love? That is what you have planted and imported to Earth. That is your harvest. And those of you who have traveled, imagine how wherever you have traveled, you have left radiance. You have left an indelible imprint of living love upon the grids of this planet. And therefore, when you do your light work, and you're at home in your land, wherever you have touched to in your travels, you can easily find a portion of your radiance still in that land. Because you have activated that portion of the destiny that you have stepped into, which is illumined with your own illumination. Oh, you may not think you're all that bright, but let me tell you, your light is the perfect radiance for the field of endeavor in which you've been planted. Some fields of endeavor, you can't show up too much of your light, because it tends to frighten people who are still having dark dreams. But know that as your light field comes up, 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 like the turning of a dimmer switch, up, 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 you bring all of those life forms, all of those people, all of those places that you've touched to, you bring up with you to a higher level. Do know that not a single step you've ever taken has been amiss. But every single thing you've ever said, thought, done, imagined, has contributed to the illumination and the liberation of those who have been entrapped in dark, dense areas of consciousness. It is only the mind, that needs to be illumined. Everything is just fine. Everything is divinely ordered and perfect. Only the lens of a mind still fogged in by banks of ego, still sees differences, still sees things that need to be fixed. But as odd as this may sound, there's absolutely nothing going on here in the outer world of time-space. What seems to be happening in the world news was resolved in a holy instant beyond time. At the very instant, the insane thought arose of separation from God. So mankind has been but reliving that nightmare over and over again, and is simply being called to awaken and realize his eternal oneness with divine source. And this seminar is one of the many ways that the divine spirit is using to gently call you out of the nightmare and into the bliss of immortal reality. So imagine that you're taking the hands of your fellow light workers, and we're forming not only a circle around the planet, but a spiral for each of the lands, each of the light workers in the community of light throughout the world is joining and holding hands. And we're forming a complete spiral that covers every inch of the planet with light. Step down appropriately so that every single living thing is being bathed in this divine light. And we ask the Holy Spirit to enter into our tabernacles. Enter in, Lord, and use us as your instruments. And today we join in collectively dissolving global stress, global disharmony, global fear, global suffering, global lack. And we see all of these dark thought forms rise up and simply dissolve like dark clouds in the radiance of divine love. The Holy Spirit's answer to any question is always a return to peace. And so on behalf of all of the planet and all of the life forms on this beautiful planet, both those in incarnation physically as well as those that inhabit the dimensions around the earth, we ask that the Holy Spirit would bring a blessing of peace. And we say to each one, we love you. God bless you. Peace. Be still. And we see the aura of the earth began to radiate in the tender, soft pink of a newly blossomed rose. And the fragrance rises throughout the planet, transmuting the fumes of hatred and war, and revealing heaven's loveliness, which is just a shift of consciousness away. Peace is ever present. We just need to make it more important than harboring grievances. But we don't choose to harbor grievances because we know that grievances hide the light of the world that we are. And we would not hide the light of the world that we are for any petty offense. And so we take a deep breath. And if any such dark clouds reside in our consciousness, we offer them over into the love of the Supreme Spirit, and to the grace of God, and we see them dissolve. They have no power before truth. Every false thing simply vanishes in the light of truth. And the highest truth is love. Love is. And we are that, through and through. So we raise our hands and we send our blessings, radiations of golden crystic light and tender pink. We shower rose petals upon humanity. And as our love touches to the different places upon the earth, we see the lifting into a higher state of vibration. We see beauty and greenery and freshness, renewal and revival. And the happy dream of awakening to truth to replace the dark dreams of separation and warfare. We send the light and our love to bless all of the souls that have participated in the lifting of this earth. Those who have passed out of the body and the dream of death, to find they live still in higher dimensions where the body is no longer a hindrance or a heaviness, but they're in their bodies of light, safe and sound. No one has been touched. Only the cloak, the outer cloak, the garment, the earth suit has been exchanged for the body of light. But all is well. Everyone dances the dance in and out of the dream to bring the awakening. So honor your gifting. Honor the blessedness with which you walk. For you are pure light, pure love. Your bliss, indistinguishable from God. You are made of God. You live in God. God lives in you. And truly, beloved, all is well. So we say, may all the beings of all the worlds have peace. May all the beings in all the worlds awaken to the living love that they are and dance in the bliss of radiant being. And now we will sing the hue three times, bathing the planet with the sacred sound current of that divine name. And whatever name you know as the beloved, know that that name is included in the hue. For it is that heavenly and universal love song to God that all of nature sings. Ready? Deep breath. Hue. Carry that sense of the community of light with you. Know that all the masters, angels, teachers, guides, benefactors, all the hierarchies of this planet and the other planetary worlds, the Ashtar Command, all of the fleets of light that occupy the various spheres of life around this planet, and beyond this planet, into the solar system, the universe, the great galaxy in which we dance like a point of diamond light. Know that we're all walking each other home. We're all ascending in greater and greater loving, greater and greater blissful awakening. And not one single soul will be lost or left behind, because altogether We are as cells in the body of God. So how could God lose God? How could God lose itself? But feel that you're never alone. Experience right now, wherever you are, the invisible companions that crowd about you at all times, day and night, that love you beyond your possibility of understanding, and behold you as you truly are, a divine incarnation of immortal bliss and love. So take a deep breath and bring that awareness down into your physical mind. Imprint your mind. Imprint your conscious awareness. Imprint every cell of your physical body. Imprint your astral body. Each level of your being. Imprint with the remembrance of your immortal beingness. We are all embodiments of immortal bliss. But very few, it seems, are able to live in that state of bliss. When you look at the faces of models and sports figures and movie stars, actors, news commentators, and passers-by, how many faces do you see that are radiant with divine bliss? And notice faces. Look at your own face periodically. Notice when you're in alignment with your true essence, how your face glows. A light comes up in it. Notice if you're in a dark mood, literally your countenance is darkened. Notice that in people around you, when they're aligned with truth, their faces radiate. When they're in a dark mood, their face is darkened, and they appear older. So, in so many faces, we see only the ravages of stress and worry, disappointment, doubt, and cynicism. Because these dear ones have looked outwardly for that which can only be realized and experienced directly within. So this ravaged countenance that so many people present need not be, and is due solely to ignorance of one's essential nature. Now, stress is caused by that conflict between one's essential divine nature and one's actions. The attempt to make the illusion real and workable is what is leading to all of this stress. Then one can act also in the dream, but remain awake like Jesus and all the masters do. That is what we are learning to do as light workers. We're gradually integrating that so that it just seamlessly enters the fabric of our life and the arenas in which we operate, so we don't shock with a totally different vibration the people and the world with which we interact. There's a certain courtesy of entering our radiance so that we don't blow people out of the water, so to speak. Now, only one who is in contact and communion with one's essential divine nature experiences bliss. Bliss is God's presence manifesting from within you. It's an inner radiance that begins to fill your own personal inner universe and cleanse and clear and dissolve all the clouds of illusion. And then it extends beyond you to countless universes and countless creations, and it keeps expanding until you awaken in the all that is. So it's a state of presence. Now, bliss is our very nature. The purpose of all our experiences has been but to realize and live in ongoing bliss, ananda, as it's called in Sanskrit. So to embody one's essential divinity and live in bliss is also the greatest universal service one could ever offer. If you do but that, you have been giving the greatest gift possible with your life. So bliss is both the salvation and dissolution of the world. Salvation comes from the Latin root salve, which means to return to wholeness and divine perfection. And the only place that happens is in the mind, which alone has given the distorted perception of difference. So the world is dissolved. And a world lit by heaven's loveliness comes to replace it. It is not a loss, but it is a recognition of that which is useless and the embracing of that which has all value. Now, what causes stress? Well, mainly we create stress when we attempt to do something that is not entirely aligned for us to do. Stress occurs when we do not have a clear inner directive from spirit to act. Now, nothing is difficult that God would have us do. Doesn't mean that everything is without effort or without challenge, but it means that you're given the ability to flow with ease from step to step to accomplish whatever it is that God would have you do. You just stay present and keep walking forward in faith. As the saying is in the Bible, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's true, when you're operating in the anointing of that divine spirit, nothing is impossible. Absolutely nothing. There's no limits, there's no boundaries. As far as you can extend your radiance, God will complete to perfection whatever you step forward and purpose to accomplish in his name. What is God's name? Your true name is God's name. So stress arises when we do not have an agreement between our intention, our thoughts, our emotions, and what we can actually physically act on. Stress arises when we are not centered here and now and present in this moment. For example, if you're worried about the future or trying to control and manipulate the outcome of the future, you're stressing yourself. If you're dragging unresolved issues from the past, then believe me, the minute they're past, if you're dragging that baggage with you, you're creating stress. So stress arises when we attempt to fulfill outer directives rather than an inner directive. When we try to fulfill, for example, the expectations, demands, directives of others, rather than our own sense of what we need to do, we create stress. And this creates an inner conflict, and that which we experience is that uptight feeling, that edginess, that background static that doesn't allow us to feel the bliss of God. So we need to decide, who are we going to obey? The world and others, or the Divine Spirit? Now, there's no need to sell out to the world to have your needs met. God will provide all that you need when you fully rely on Him. So we are also subjected to stress by the demands of our employers, and spouses, and friends, and children, and teachers, and authority figures, and society itself. But when you realize all of this as simply projections out of our own subconscious, and that the lesson is to be true to yourself, to know that those are your many selves that you see outwardly. When you know that, then it's easy to be true to yourself because you're not trying to please an outer authority. You're essentially trying to please yourself. Now remember, yourself with a capital S, your soul, your spirit, and the Holy Spirit, or God, are one. So when you find yourself in a situation where you're besought by the demands and expectations of others, there are two ways, actually, that we can deal with them. First off is to adjust our attitude. An attitudinal adjustment will immediately have an outer effect. And we can do that always. As the old saying goes, if you don't like the work that you're doing, learn to like whatever it is that you're doing, so that you have an attitude that wherever you are is a divine appointment, and you bring forward as much of your loving and radiance and light as would be appropriate given that situation. But the response is always one of extending the loving. I have worked when I was a professional dancer in a dance company with some of the choreographers that had the absolute worst reputations in the business for being hard-nosed, difficult to deal with, cantankerous, critical, etc., etc., etc. But I made it my point to send love to them and to honor them and respect them and treat them with great courtesy. And I found in every single instant that choreographer really loved me. I would be the one that would get the jobs. I would be the one that would be called forward to be given the praise or whatever. Not that I wanted that, but it's sure better than being called forward to be given the riot act. So I'm just saying that everything in the universe wants your love. That's all it wants. I don't care what it is. It will pester you until you turn and give it your full attention with loving. Just like needy children that drive you crazy until you stop what you're doing and you turn and you give them your full attention, and the next minute they're off playing, happy as a lark. Everything wants your blessing. It's a beautiful, beautiful lesson in the Course in Miracles. It says, give me your blessing, Holy Son of God, and my holiness blesses the world, and your holiness blesses me. So have the sense that your holiness is a walking blessing, and that everyone that comes to you is either offering that blessing or, through negativity, is requesting your blessing. Every negative expression is a silent plea for healing and love. How can we find offense if we could keep that thought in mind? And then, instead of giving an egocentric piece of our mind to someone, we are silent if we can't be truly helpful with what we say, or we have a soft reply. A soft reply turns away wrath. Always takes two to fight. So if you can stay conscious and respond with kindness and compassion. The Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh has a beautiful way of dealing with that. He says, when you see your loved one suffering, and everyone really is our loved one, say, "Darling, I know you are suffering. I'm here for you." And when you're suffering, you can say to your beloved, and it takes humility to do this, "Darling, I'm suffering. Please help me." If we could remember to do that in our relationships, my heavens, what a different response we would meet. We wouldn't have fights and bickering and all of that. So try to stay conscious and remember that everyone has their own crosses to bear. Everyone has their own form of suffering. To be in a body in the third dimension is a great suffering in itself. No matter how much money you have or how much prestige and acknowledgement by the world, how many letters and fetters behind your name, it's all a big suffering, isn't it? The only thing that gives life any sweetness at all is our relationship with God. When you live in a conscious relationship with the beloved, it's like an anesthetic. You don't notice the suffering very much, if at all. You live in a plane, a vibration of consciousness above that. So above all, beloveds, cultivate a living, vital, alive, joyful, sweet, tender relationship with the divine spirit that lives in you and operates through you as its own holy habitation. So live in communion with God. Speak to God. God hears every thought. But it's so sweet to sit in silence and just hang out together, or to confide in the Lord your feelings and thoughts and misgivings and hopes and wishes and angsts. Who better to talk to? But most of all, turn your ravaged thoughts to the Lord and take from Him a peaceful mind, a blissful mind, and a light heart. Don't let a day pass in which you go to bed without a light heart. And often, I think every morning it's wonderful to thank the Lord for the gift of life, the gift of conscious mission, the gift of being able to be a light worker at the greatest time on this planet. Wow, what a privilege. And when you start your day, in the Course of Miracles, it says that we can state exactly the kind of day we'd like to have. And if we don't make any decisions by ourselves, that is to say, without the Holy Spirit, we will have a day like that. I've been doing that lately, and it's just unfolded so beautifully. just ask for what you want. How simple is that? You simply ask for the type of day you would like to experience. And then you allow the Holy Spirit to go before you. Open the doors, prepare the way, and you walk in the light of grace. That's what it means to live in grace rather than under karma. You transcend karma by living at the higher dimension of living love, by living at the dimension of relationship with God. And it's a different world, you see. You'll notice heaven's loveliness. You'll notice the love radiating from everyone and everything. You won't have a single enemy. There won't be anyone that you don't regard and cherish as your own beloved. It's so funny. You just lose that sense of limited love. You lose the sense that some people are more lovable than others. That just vanishes when your heart is opened by the divine presence. You find that you love everyone. Your behavior will be different, of course, as appropriate. You know, but the love will be the same. So when you are confronted by something that's difficult and you're tempted to recoil and resist and put up barriers, our precious Buddhist sister, Pema Chodron, shared a beautiful technique on Oprah's Super Soul Sunday. And she said, whenever something comes towards you that you have a negative reaction towards, instead of contracting and putting up a defense, open your arms really wide and take a deep breath and bring it into you. Bring it in, breathe it in, expand and embrace it. And you'll find that it just passes right through your love. And I would add, it's healed by so doing. So do just the opposite of what the lower self would want to do, which is to put up the old shields and block and resist. And open your arms and embrace your life. Embrace your situation. You'll be amazed at how you'll be released from the worst situations by grace. Just give it a chance. So, know that stress, whenever it appears, is always caused by a conflict between one's inner and outer states of consciousness. Stress always causes dis-ease, a lack of peace, and hence gives rise to disease. Because whenever the body is used lovelessly, it begins the process of self-destruction. Because according to Jesus in the Course of Miracles, the body's sole purpose is to communicate love. And as long as it's fulfilling its rightful purpose, it will stay healthy, regardless of the outer appearance to the contrary. So we always need to look beyond the outer worldly appearance of things to the truth of what's really taking place. And the more you realize that your life is a big play acting of an assigned role that you've been given by God, it's not who you are. Your body is a suit of clothes, like a caricature. that you have invested yourself with, but it's not you. You are not your present personality, your present behavior, your present personality, your present mind thought, mindset, your present worldview. You're not the same person from one minute to the next. You're not the same person you were yesterday, or 10 years ago, or when you were a teenager or an infant, or a newly conceived ovum. You are none of those things today. But what you are through all of those stages in which the outer form shows evidence of changing, as all things do in these material worlds of illusion, what you remain constant in all of those things is immortal love, immortal awareness, immortal bliss, birthless, deathless, sinless, eternally innocent and pure, untouchable by any of your passages in time-space, any of your enactments on the stage of life, passing scenery. Don't identify with any of that. Roar, I am indistinguishable from God. I am God. I am the indivisible, supreme, absolute. I am being, awareness, bliss. I'm ever content and free. Fear and grief can never affect me. That's the sort of identification that you need to bring forward in your conscious awareness again and again and again and again. And let it dissolve lifetimes of misidentifying yourself with your body and with your behavior and with your role play. So honor your right to be and do as you elect, as you prefer, as you feel is right for you. The only one to please here is you. If you're pleased, God is pleased. For your will, when purified, and God's will are one. There's no separate wills here. Your will is God's will when it's correctly aligned and purified from the ego. But even if later you see that your action was ego-motivated, still, it's better to honor your own directives, your own nature, and your own right to live your life as you deem best. Further experience will enable you to come to know the difference between ego's willfulness and the willingness of one living in harmony with one's divine nature. There's a slight difference. One of them, the willfulness of the ego, creates stress. The willingness of one living in harmony with one's divine nature does not create stress. It brings forward bliss. So do not allow others to tell you what you must or should do. That is always a sign of ego. The masters will never tell you what to do. No one has the right to dictate and control your right of self-determination. Instead, if you feel pressured and besought by someone's addictive demands, you could say, I'm sorry, but this doesn't feel clear for me to do. Or, I'll need to check this out. Or, I'll need to have more clarity before I can agree or commit to this. Now, no one can argue with you if you say you need to feel clear before you take action. Or, that you need to gain greater clarity by checking it out. These are very, very wonderful ways to avoid offending people or procrastinating or avoiding or coming into confrontation, you can avoid all of those ego dances if you simply say, I need to check this out. It doesn't quite align with me right now. You know, you've bought yourself freedom here. So never do anything that goes against your conscience or violates your personal code of ethics. And those personal codes of ethics are very personal, they're very cultural, they're very much a part of what we have been raised to believe is the way things should be. In spirit, you know, whatever you do in the loving is clear. But down here we have a lot of cultural biases about what is and is not correct behavior. So again, it's a courtesy to act appropriately within your cultural setting, but it doesn't mean you have to go against your conscience or violate your personal code. You know, what you do with your mind and in yourself is your private domain. Another key I found is to always do what you really deep down inside want to do. You know, simply put, God's only will for you is for you to know divine oneness and bliss. That's it. So God basically wants you to be yourself, which is divine oneness and bliss. So initially, happiness is a good state to aim for. For example, before you marry, be sure that person will honor, respect, and support your right to be yourself. Before you make a commitment of a binding type, as in marriage or signing contracts for employment or partnership, be sure you are in mutual alignment and agreement with what is being expected of you. To keep free in this world requires exercising conscious self-direction and looking carefully at what you're getting into before you leap. So keep yourself as free as possible from unnecessary involvements by living simply within your means. As one of the ways. We're seeing a trend growing throughout the world of adopting a simpler lifestyle, of focusing upon what lends quality rather than quantity to one's life. So have things around you that make your heart sing. Know yourself so well that you know what you require in order to live the type of life and be the type of person you truly want to be. So if you find yourself in a situation where, for whatever reasons, change is simply not possible or an option, then accept it as God's will for you and surrender it to God, trusting that the overall outcome will be beneficial to you. Regardless, in highest truth, it is always for your best, whether you're able to surrender or not. Surrender really doesn't mean giving over your power to an outer authority, a guru, a master, or anything of that nature. It is to surrender to the directives of your conscience or the Holy Spirit, however you'd like to language that. So learn to release all concern, all mental worry and agitation to a higher source. That's the easiest way to reduce stress and to overcome a bad habit of worrying. Notice what agitates your mind and upsets your peace and happiness and simply avoid it. If what you're reading, listening to, or watching is not contributing to your peace of mind, happiness and upliftment, and your well-being, It's causing you unnecessary stress. So upgrade your sensory intake. And remember that every form of sensory intake constitutes food and determines the type of thoughts that one generates. And one's thoughts give rise to one's actions. So keep your sensory intake wholesome and uplifting for optimal health and well-being. So bliss is when the divine presence is fully present. It's not euphoric joy, nor is it happiness. Bliss is divine neutrality. It's what we would call energetically in science the scalar waves. It's even-mindedness. It's equal-mindedness. Or, as it's called in Sanskrit, Samadhi, equal-mindedness. So bliss, ananda, is to see the one essential divinity radiating throughout creation, indwelling every form. It is that single-eyed vision. It is seeing through the light of one's essential nature, or soul, also called soul awareness, or soul transcendence, where you lift like we did in the beginning of our seminar tonight, above the level of one's mind in this world. And you see, as from a very, very high overview, that which is taking place. We can always do that. We can always lift our vibration by simply intending that we do so. The only reason most are not experiencing any real happiness, much less joy and bliss, is simply because the focus has been confined to the outer world and maintaining things in this world. The more you focus upon the outer world, the more stress you will experience. The more the conflict between your essential nature, which craves the presence of God, and the ego mind that craves the phenomenal world and sensual involvement. The Course of Miracles says that the child of God only feels happiness in the presence of God. If you look, even most spiritual practices are worldly in nature. There'll be meditations for abundance, meditations for finding romance, meditations to gain greater personal power and influence. What has that got to do with God? What has that got to do with bliss? So those of you who have come to realize that the outer world holds nothing of value, nothing that you truly want or need, you are among the ripened fruit on the tree of life. You are ready to transcend the world of appearances and enter the world of true being. You are ready to enter the kingdom that lies within, that Jesus and all enlightened ones refer to. The door is located within the Sacred Heart and must be found by each individual. The eyes of the heart must be opened and your two eyes made single in their seeing. The heart in this instance is referring to one's essential divine nature or soul. The single eye to soul awareness, moving one's focus of attention inward, singing the sacred names of God, or the Hu, or the Om, or the name that has been given to you in initiation. You chant those, you ride the energy up and beyond and out of the mind and beyond the mind into the pure, brilliant radiance of blissful soul awareness. And while techniques on how to venture inward are so many, the way that is most direct is simple. The most direct path is living love. My teacher, John Roger, gave the simplest directives to do this. Two, in fact. Number one, look for the good, the divine, in all people and things, and leave all the rest to God. And second, love God, love yourself, love your teacher, Love all things. Be the living love. And his very last message before he transcended to the next dimension was, be good, be holy. Sai Baba has given a similar formula. Start the day with love. Fill the day with love. End the day with love. That's the way to God. And Jesus taught, God is love. And we are known as the people of God by our love one for another. So we can only join and commune with a vibration that matches our own. So that is why if we want to draw near and dear to God, we must become Godlike in our loving. For God is love. And love for God is called devotion or bhakti in Sanskrit. And more than anything else, we need to pray for greater love and greater devotion. So by whichever spiritual path we adopt, we will all ultimately dissolve all differences into pure love. And one who lives at all times in divine love is able to experience ongoing bliss, for they have transcended the world of illusion and suffering, and they have become inlets of grace, imparting reality and truth in the kingdom of heaven upon earth and every dimension. So, beloved, do that by prioritizing love in all of your daily actions and interactions. Let's go out chanting on I Hu. Deep breath. On I Hu. God bless you. Adonai.